Welcome to the After Hours Sessions podcast. This is your host, D-Rock, and I'm joined by someone who's making her second appearance on the show, and she's one of the more popular episodes we've ever had on the podcast, so I'm excited that she's back on, and she's doing great work, and I'm excited to talk to her about. So we have the amazing Curves and Chaos / Mistress Madison joining the show again.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
I'm glad you're back on.
I'm glad to be here. Glad to be here.
So it's been almost like a year and a half since you've been back on the show. And so it's another year in this session world. So I guess how has it been? Like this next year, like another year, getting comfortable with it.
So this year has been great. I just wrapped up touring, so I'm not doing any more touring for the year. And yeah, it's been a lot of travel, but not like I paced myself a little bit better this year than I did last year. Last year was like full speed ahead all year, and I mean, it was fun, don't get me wrong, but I had not really thought it through very well. So this year's been good.
Okay, that's interesting. So it's, would you say that sessions is still like your favorite part of the job, or have you started liking filming more?
I really enjoy filming too. I don't know that I really like one better than the other. But I've definitely done a lot more filming this year. So maybe I've just gotten more comfortable with it.
No, for sure. And I remember writing that to you and seeing like some of the videos you've done this year. It's been awesome to see like, I don't know, we kind of just said it, but you can see how much more comfortable you are in front of the camera.
Yeah, I think I was really self-conscious last year. Because, I mean, it's all new. Like, I wasn't used to being that visible, I guess, and, like, so many people seeing so much of me. And I think this year I've just been like, you know what? Like, these people enjoy seeing me anyway, so I don't even care. I don't care anymore. Or I care less.
No, that's awesome. Because it is a big transition. I mean, jumping into this world is a big thing, like a big leap anyway. But then doing a session, that's a one-on-one, that's more intimate.
Yeah, for sure.
And you go to filming, and then it's out there.
Yep. And last year they were like, what are you comfortable filming in? And I'm like, shorts maybe. This year they're like, would you be willing to wear a thong? And I'm like, sure, whatever.
So what do you think has helped when it comes to that make you feel more comfortable this year?
I think just probably being in this industry for, you know, a year and a half. I've just really realized that people like realness and like genuine people. And so it's hard to be that when you're like guarded and closed off and like, no, I won't wear this. No, I won't wear that. Like, I mean, boundaries are good. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I think they like people that are a little more open.
I agree. And I think that's something, it's never going to be perfect, but the more I look at content creators in general, fans like to see that. I think fans like to see how things are like made.
Yeah.
And they also like to see people just being genuine. And I do think fans are smart enough to see when someone's not being genuine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So has that been fans kind of giving the same feedback to you as far as being on camera?
Yeah, so I don't watch any of the videos that I'm in. That's just one of my weird things. Like, producers would be like, "Oh, do you want to like preview it before I put it out?" And I'm like, "No, I don't. Like, I'm not gonna. You can send it to me, but I'm not gonna watch it. Like, just put it out there." I don't know. It's just something about watching myself on video that's weird.
No, I understand that. I really do.
But yeah, the fans are like, "Oh, I saw that video you did with All Star. It was amazing." And I'm just like, "Cool, I haven't seen it."
So has that, because you mentioned All Star Studios?
Yeah, All Star Smother. Yeah.
All Star Smother, thank you. And I'll be honest, I did not know of them until you started showing like some of the videos that you're on with them, and they're a really cool like clip store.
Yeah, and he's done so many videos, and he's an awesome guy too. Like, he's great to work with as a producer, so that definitely helps. But yeah,
that's awesome.
He's doing well in the Smother and Face It category on Clips for Sale.
So how's that been? Is that comfortable doing face sitting?
It's.
I feel like I got something there.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never really like thought about it. I don't know. I mean, it's not. It's obviously not something that I would like brag to my friends about, but in a session, I enjoy it now. In the beginning, I was kind of weirded out by it, and I was like, "This is just strange." Like, I don't know. But now, it's not like that anymore. Like, it's just kind of a normal part of a session now.
Now, had you heard of it before jumping into the session world?
I didn't know it was a thing. And honestly, like, before I started working in the fetish industry, I didn't really stop to think about how many kinks and fetishes there are. And there are so many.
Yes. And they keep growing.
Yes. And every time I think I've heard it all, like, someone emails and surprises me. They're like, "Do you offer this?" And I'm like, "I have never considered it. Let me think about that for a little bit."
Okay, so are there some that people have brought up to you and like now you tried it and it's going to be like part of your repertoire?
I mean, there's not a lot that I don't offer. I mean, I have, like, a couple hard limits, but as far as everything else, like, I'm kind of open to trying what they want. I don't know if anyone is into zodiac signs, but I'm a Pisces, and Pisces is really good at adapting.
Okay.
And so that's definitely me. Like, I kind of adapt to what other people want.
That's interesting, because when you talk about the face sitting, you seem kind of like reservation, like you do it but you're like, "I don't know." But that's cool that you like you're down to adapt. Like you said, you have your hard limits, but you adapt to different things.
Yeah, it works out pretty well, I think.
So let me ask you, Why is the face sitting, like, when you gave that laugh, like, why is that still, is like, surprising that people like it?
No. I mean, I can see why they do. It's just, I don't know. I've been smothered, and it's such a panicky feeling that I don't really understand how how that's, like, enjoyable.
Right.
Maybe, I mean, it's just not enjoyable for me, obviously. But, I mean, being the one sitting on someone's face is fine. But being sat on is scary to me.
No, I get that. It's weird because I'm a fan of face sitting. So I get why people like it because I like it.
So you see exactly why.
Oh, I know. See, I'm opposite. But no one has ever asked me to sit on their face. So
well, that's
I don't
a shame.
Have...
You should try that once at least.
Well, that one would make me nervous. I would be like, I don't.
Yeah, now you know how we feel, like the first right. time we ever do it.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get it.
You should, though. You should find someone who's willing to let you sit on their face.
I don't think that person's out there.
Hey, there's someone for everyone.
True, true.
There's someone for every kink. You will find someone. I have faith.
But those are the videos that you've been doing the most?
So there was the All Star Smother ones. I filmed again with Grappling Girls. I can't remember what month that was. I think it was in May, maybe. And then I've been doing a lot more, well, recently here, I did some customs with some of the other girls. So I met up with Feisty and Skylar Renee and Bianca Blanche and filmed quite a bit with all of them. So that was really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's great to connect with people that are also in the industry because they get it. Like, it's hard to talk to friends about stuff like this because they just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting, like, other girls together, it's just different and it's great.
I always say that. And there's friends who are... They're not judgmental. They're understanding. But it's still that barrier that they're not going to get when like someone who's in it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do have some great friends that know that I do this. And so I do have people to talk to. But like you said, they don't really get it because they don't do it. They're supportive. They're friendly. They're non-judgmental. But they don't get it. So
let me ask, what has, when it comes to session and traveling, what's that been like as far as, have you kind of seen a city or an area that's been more popular for you than another, or is it all pretty even?
No, it's not even at all. Some cities do really, really well, and I know they're going to do well every single time. And then some, I think they're going to do well. And then I book it and I only get like one or two sessions. So I end up having to cancel the trip. And then some are kind of steady, but not super busy, but not dead either. But Boston, Philadelphia, and LA are all really, really good ones for me.
Okay. So do you hit up New York or Jersey when you're in the Northeast?
Sometimes. The only problem with New York is everything is so expensive.
Mm.
So I had planned on doing New York this year, and I was going to try to meet up with Vivi Lane and do some filming in her studio. And it just didn't work out. Like I wasn't planning on going into Manhattan that trip, and I guess that just like killed it for everyone. They were like, Brooklyn? No, we don't want to go there.
Oh, see, I'm opposite. Because I'm in.
Like, I don't understand it because I live in Texas, and so it takes me, you know, a ridiculous amount of time just to get across town. But I have people here that'll drive 3 hours to come see me. And so, like, I go up there, but I realize not as many people have cars up there. Like, they rely on public transit. I get it. But they're like, no, I'm not going to the next borough over. That's too far. And I'm like, oh, okay. you're lost.
I can't lie. See, because I'm in Philly, and I've gone to New York a few times for sessions. Uh-huh. So the train station is right in Manhattan, you know, Madison Square Garden.
Right.
So even if it's like 18 blocks, I'll walk that, no problem. But if I have to like hop on the subway and go to like different parts, then I'm like, I don't know the subway. I don't want to do all that.
I don't know any of it. I've never used public transit in New York, and I need someone to like hold my hand and show me how it works.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So I know, like down here, you get on the one train station, and it just takes you all the way to Penn Station, and that's the last stop, and you get off, and you're at like Madison Square Garden and all that stuff. So like that, if we stay like in that area, and then like, you can go to Times Square, this and that, I'm good. But if they're like, come to like Queens, I'm like, I can't do that. I'm like, no.
Too much work.
Too much. I went to a Yankees game a few years ago in the Bronx, mm-hmm. but other people had gone before, so they did the like subway before.
Yeah.
So they were able to help.
Ah, that definitely helps. It's just overwhelming up there because down here we really don't have much of a public transportation system. So, I mean, other than like city buses and a couple of Amtraks, like that's it. So I never got used to using it, never really had to use it. So going up there and like so many people rely on that and I'm just kind of lost.
No, I know so many people who move. I'm in Philly and we have public transportation, but a lot of people still have cars, but they move to New York and then they come back. And they're like, can I drive your car? And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, we haven't driven. We don't drive anymore. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, go drive your mom's car or something.
Not yours.
Yeah. I'm like, what? But it's different.
I don't know that I'd want to live in an area where it wasn't feasible to have a car or it wasn't practical. I just enjoy like that freedom of just being able to like not have to check a bus schedule or a train schedule or anything like that. Just hop in the car and go somewhere.
See, I'm in the area right now that I'm with you. Where I live outside the city now, so I need a car. But it's that necessary evil, I feel.
I mean, whereas, my life would be a lot cheaper, probably, if I did.
That's what I'm saying.
My car payment.
It's with the car payment, and then I'm always having, it's like outside of rent, the number two thing I'm like, I better have stuff saved up is if something happens to the car.
Oh, yeah. My car is kind of an exotic, and I just recently had to take it in for repairs, and it was very sad having to pay that bill at the end. Mm. Was not happy.
See, that's why I just give me something that's easy to maintain. Cause that bill, it just crushes you.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like you can do anything about it.
Nope.
Can't be like, I don't want to pay that. And they're like, okay, well, we're not giving you your keys back. Like, that's how this works.
But they just keep, like, adding stuff on.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, wait a minute. What needs to be fixed so in the near future I'm not going to break down?
Yeah, there you go.
And then the list starts getting way shorter.
Yeah. Don't so I'm tell like, me I need a battery just because mine is 4 years old. Like,
right.
Nothing's wrong with it. I'll wait till it goes dead.
Right. Then they'll make a face. When I ask that question, it's like, well, you don't need to have this fixed now But I wouldn't wait like a year and a half either. I'm like, all right, well, that goes there. I'm like, come on, man.
Good times. Good times.
So I want to ask about, has your favorite type of session, has it changed? Has it added?
My favorite type has always been scissor holds, and that's it's still that. Like, I don't think it'll ever change.
Okay.
Unless somehow, like, my legs get really weak.
No, I just wonder, because you have, like, the curving chaos side, but you have the Mistress Madison side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I enjoy Dom sessions, too. It's just, like, the scissor holds, I'm built for that. Like, they just, they're fun, and it's, like, kind of relaxing in a weird way for me. So,
so what do you mean relaxing?
I don't know. It's just, like, therapeutic to squeeze the shit out of someone. Is that weird? Does that make me weird?
Not at all.
I mean, I'm not, like, gonna go all Dahmer and eat them afterwards or anything. But no, it's just, it's like a workout, but it's fun. And watching their face get all smushy.
I mean, you gotta know, this is After Hour Sessions podcast, so nothing, this is the place, so on here, it's not weird, it's normal. On here, yeah, on here, you being like, I don't know about the face sitting thing, that's probably stranger than what you just said.
Now, face sitting is cool. In the beginning, I was like, I don't know about this. Like, I'm kind of heavy. These people want all my weight on their face. Like, what if I break someone's nose? Like, there were just a million thoughts going through my head in the beginning. Now, it's like, oh, okay, let's do this. Mm-hmm. It's just different. Different when you get more comfortable with it.
No. It was funny. I saw Goddess Nadia back in June.
Okay.
When she came to Philly.
Yeah.
And she did, like, some face sitting.
Uh-huh.
And she, like, brought you up. And she's like, if you love face sitting, you got to see, like, Madison, like, you know, Courage and Chaos. I go, yeah, I had her on the show. And she's like, you got to see her. Like, she's great.
Aw, I love Nadia. She's fun.
But she was awesome.
She's got a wicked scissor hold, too.
Does she ever?
Yes.
I can attest.
She will squeeze the ever-loving shit out of you.
No, for sure.
But yeah, she's really cool. I was kind of sad that I didn't get to see her when I was in California last week. But I think she's down in the San Diego area.
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't venture down that far. This
no. So I kind of, that's really cool. I've ever heard that response, that scissor holds is therapeutic. I think that's awesome. I really do.
I mean, I like all the chokes. I like rear naked choke too, but scissor hold is fun because it's more controllable, I feel like.
Gotcha. So now, is there, I'm not sure, because I, like you, I don't listen to myself, like, once they're up, they're up. So I didn't listen to our podcast from back in the June of 2021. But have you done or looking to do, like, some MMA training to, like, incorporate in the sessions?
I would love to, and I probably will do some next year. I've just been so busy. It's kind of been difficult to juggle my full-time job, and then sessions end up kind of being full-time sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So this year, I haven't had time, and also the few months that I took off, like December through May.
Mm-hmm.
I purposely took those months off because I had surgery for something unrelated, but I also had an injury, so I was trying to let my shoulder heal. And of course, the only way to do that was rest. And I kept telling my chiropractor, I can't. That's like the one thing I cannot do. I was like, I have so many trips still scheduled because they, he told me, like, I had an MRI and he told me what it was in September or October. And he was like, you really need to just like not use it. And I'm like, that's literally impossible. I still had probably 4 or 5 trips. And so I just kind of, you know, hobbled my way through it and then took a few months off, and it did heal. But now I'm just kind of worried about aggravating it again. So I don't know how deep into the MMA training I'll get.
Well, I understand. Now, I know from just following you and from everyone talking about how strong you are, I know you're a lifter. So how has that been with the injury, adjusting to working out and lifting?
I had to stop doing that too. So I kind of stayed out of the gym other than like doing some light cardio and stuff. A couple leg days maybe, because I'm stubborn. But yeah, I really, I had really bad tendonitis in my shoulder and my right shoulder and my right forearm. And, I had to cancel a lot of stuff because of it. And, so I really, really was trying to just not do anything to make it worse, so that it could actually heal. But now I'm back lifting, and it's just hard to get back to being consistent when you had to take time off. Like, it was hard for me to get back into it after the pandemic and after like stuff started opening back up. And now it's hard to get back into it again. But that's life, I guess.
Yes.
I think it was hard for a lot of people, so I know I'm not alone.
No, I'm right there with you. It's a weird thing because you love it. Like, it is. I love going.
Mm-hmm.
But the pandemic threw it off, and then it's like, and not in a bad way, like, throughout everything shutting down with, like, podcast and content creating, once everything opened up, I kind of had more responsibility.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, I'm busier than when I was pre-pandemic.
Yep.
Same. So it's like, it's just tough.
Yeah. And I had to start working from home at the beginning of the pandemic. And then, of course, gym shut down. And then, so I had, like, my set routine. Like, I could tell you exactly what I was doing at 4 p.m. on, you know, Wednesday, whatever day of whatever month. And I was very used to that routine. And then when I had to start working from home, it all kind of like went to shit. And I had no routine anymore. Like, instead of getting up at 4 a.m. to be at the office by 6:30, like, I was rolling out of bed at 8, logging onto my computer. And if I didn't have any work, I wasn't really doing anything. So it really threw a wrench in everything. And I'm still working from home or working remotely 3 days a week. So I still don't really have like a great routine yet, but
it's one of those things. It's, I think the idea and the opportunity to work from home is great, and I'm glad people have it. But, and I'm blessed where my commute has always been 10 minutes.
Oh, that is lucky.
Yeah, so I've been very lucky in that regard. I drive around a lot, like, for the meetings, but my office has always been 10 minutes away.
That's so nice. Mine is, like, 40 to 40 minutes to an hour, depending on what time I leave.
Oh.
But luckily, I only have to do that 2 days a week. But then it makes it so that I have to get up 2 hours earlier the 2 days a week that I do go into the office. And so my sleep schedule is all over the place, and my work schedule is all, it's just, it's been hard to adjust to.
Nah, I've tried to do either Monday or a Friday for like that work from home. Because then I'll have the weekend or something to help. Because if I do it like in the middle of the week, it just throws me off.
I totally understand that.
It's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
But let me... You mentioned you have some friends who know about, like, the session world and stuff. How has that been? Has it been easier telling people in your day-to-day life about this?
I'm still very selective with who I tell. It really has to be someone close to me that I actually trust for me to tell them. Because I've been burned by people that I thought I could trust, and turns out not so much. So I've kind of cut back on telling people.
And not to be too personal on that, but just like, do you mean like people then going and telling other people, or more of people then starting to judge?
Both. So I've had people that, like, after we kind of had like a falling out, or not even that, like sometimes they just, I don't know if they assume that our other friends know or if they just don't care, but they'll talk to other mutual friends about it, and I kind of hear about it the backwards way. But also I've had someone that I tried to date, and I told him about it, and he then, like, after we split up, he then went and found my session profile and emailed my session email asking about, like, boxing or something. And I'm like, you dumbass, like, you left your whole name in your email. like I'm not gonna know who that is. Like, I just don't. But yeah, it was kind of in like a judgy way. So I was like, I think I'm not gonna tell as many people from here on out.
No, and I appreciate you sharing, because it's something that myself, people, other guests, and people who listen to the show have talked about. I've been messaged, and it's a common conversation. It's that balance of, you're not ashamed of what you're doing, but just not everyone deserves to hear your truth.
Right. That's exactly it. Like, not everyone deserves to know about my life, and I'm not ashamed of it, but also there's a lot of people that don't understand it and don't understand sex work in general, and think that it's just, like, invalid, I guess. I don't know another way to say it. They just don't respect it at all.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of words you could use, and that's one of them, for sure. And I think the sad part is, I mean, like, everything... If you want to find a sad story or a not a great example of something, you can find that in anything.
Yep.
But if people talk to either yourself and people who are in this industry in that light, or genuine fans, they would hear some inspiring and awesome stories.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a lot of those from girls that want to be in the industry. I mean, I'm sure some are just still in it because it can be lucrative, but And I honestly, the clients know that. I've had some that said, you're only my second session, but my first one, she just seemed really burnt out. Like, it wasn't an engaging session. And that's kind of sad to hear, because I feel like people should do stuff that makes them happy. And if sessions aren't making you happy anymore, then, you know, it's not the job you should have. But I know for a lot of people, that's not always an option to just get out.
Well, let me ask you, what helps to keep this fresh for you? Like, to make sure, like, you still have, because obviously you have a passion. So, like, what is helping so that, you know, you don't burn out?
I think what really helps me is taking the winters off. Honestly, because I get seasonal depression. And so, like, winters are just really tough for me anyway, even though I'm in Texas and we typically don't have much of a winter, you know. But, yeah, I just don't like the cold, and I don't like traveling in the cold. And so it helps me to kind of, like, reset. And taking, you know, 3 or 4 months off last year, even though I was bored to death and I hated it. it really helped, because when I did get back into sessions in May, everything was like fresh and fun again. So not that it didn't, like, it didn't get to not be fun in the first year, but well, it did because of my shoulder, but that was not fun.
Mm. So let me follow up on the first one. This may be a little random, but I get seasonal depression, and I'm in the Northeast, so wintertime is rough for me.
Yeah, and I grew up in Iowa, so, like, I remember what that was like, and it sucks. So, right. Which is why I moved to Texas.
So now, part of me always thought I wouldn't have it, or it wouldn't be as bad if I lived in a warm weather place. So, like, what is it like for you? Because, like, where you're at in Texas, what's the average temperature during the wintertime?
I would say average during the winter is probably, like, 40s, low 50s.
Okay, so still not as warm as I thought.
No. And if I was, like, down near the border of Mexico, it's warmer there, obviously. But Central Texas is not all that warm in the winter. But we usually have, like, a cold snap where it's somewhere hovering around freezing for, like, a week. And that's about it. Nowhere near as bad as Iowa or probably Philly.
Okay. So I was wondering, because I know, like, the time changes, it gets dark earlier, and that's part of it.
I think really, like, that might, well, that paired with the chilly weather is what I don't like, because I love sunshine. And even though I hate it here in the summer when it's, like, brutally hot, I would take that over being cold and only having sunlight for, like, 3 hours a day in a heartbeat.
No, I'm with you. People disagree. And the summers can be awful, like the humidity.
Yeah.
But I, like, as well, I see it's going to be 100, it's like, oh, it's brutal. But that doesn't make me, like, not want to run errands, or, like, I have to go to work. I pop up fine. But, like, in the wintertime, it's like, man, it's like getting up for work is brutal. It's like, even hanging out with friends. I had to tell my one friend, I was like, you live 15 minutes away. And in the summertime, that's nothing. In the wintertime, if you would live like 10 minutes further out, I would be like, oh, I don't want to go there.
You got to let your car warm up. You got to scrape some ice off the windshield.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. I do not miss the cold climate.
Not lucky. So hearing about your shoulder and knowing that you which I was very impressed with, like your lifting carry. How have you adjusted that now with the shoulder injury?
Since it's healed, I don't really have to adjust it at all. I still have a weight limit that's way below what I could actually lift, just because I don't want to deal with another injury, especially because lift and carry is so hard on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my shoulder was bad enough, but at least I have another shoulder. I don't have another back. So I kind of got to take care of this one.
So what's the, I know you have the limit, but what is roundabout you think like the max you could lift?
Oh. Well, it's at least 225. I don't know how much beyond that, honestly.
And is that like fireman's carry over the shoulder?
I could do piggyback 225.
That's impressive.
I don't know about fireman's carry. That one's a lot of shoulder and spine stress.
Is piggyback your favorite lift?
It's the easiest.
Is that your favorite? I mean, I know it's the easiest.
Depending on the person, fireman is okay too. But yeah, well, I think fireman's probably my favorite.
Okay.
Like spinning around like a helicopter.
Yeah. Have you been lifted like that in a session?
Fireman?
Or anyway.
Yes. I definitely have been lifted. I can't. I know I've been on one shoulder. I don't know that I've been. I think Nadia got me in a fireman's carry, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did a lift and carry, or like a strength comparison custom video or something like that. And I think she fireman carried me. But I don't know that I've been piggybacked by anyone.
You know, it's funny, because I met Courtney Olson a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not the first to say it, but it's always shocking it a little bit. I don't know why, because I love lifting carry. But I like to be the one to lift and carry.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many like session wrestlers or DOMs. They're like, no one's ever asked me. No one's ever asked that. And I'm like, really? Like, I didn't think I was original, or I thought other guys would have asked you. So that's why I'm always curious, especially when someone who does lift and carry, like, do they get asked?
Sometimes. Just not very often, because it's usually the, you know, little scrawny guys that that are booking the lift and carry sessions.
Gotcha. Well, just wondering, because you don't travel in the winter and you take that time off,
mm-hmm.
but have you thought about opening like your own clip for sale store and then filming? I mean, I've not just throughout the winter, but like however often, but just to keep it going.
I've definitely thought about it. I've also thought about having my own website made, like a streaming website. So I think probably this winter, I actually will do a clips for sale store. Start that, do that for maybe another year, and then have my website made, because it's pretty expensive.
Yeah. So now with the clip for sale store, I know you've talked to other ladies and you've seen others and you've been on them. Do you have ideas of what you want to do?
I've not sat down and thought about it yet. I have no idea. I hate the Clips for Sale website platform. So that's really like what has been holding me back from making one, is because their website looks like it was designed in like the 80s.
I was going to go 90s, but you're, either way.
Yeah, either way. It looks like it was designed once way back in the day and just never redesigned. But yeah, I've had enough people tell me that I need a clip store that it probably is time to go ahead and make one. So.
Yeah, I always wonder, because on like your end, is it hard like finding like guys?
Yes. I don't know if this is everywhere or if it's just my area, but there's really only, I think, one other session girl in the Austin area, which is where I am. And even she, I mean, she's technically in the Austin area, but she's like an hour away from me. But yeah, finding guys, I swear to God, dudes are flakier than women are. Cause I've got friends and I'll ask them like, hey, would you be willing to be in like a custom video? Like, it's nothing crazy. You can wear a mask if you want to. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, I'd be down for that. And then they just keep rescheduling. And I'm like, I can't do this. Like, this is not working.
So what's their hesitation?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
That's interesting. But you get guys who travel to session with you in Texas.
Yes. Yes, they drive like an absurd number of hours to come. Well, and even in California, there were some that traveled along. And shit, Nashville, I had one guy that drove like 6 or 7 hours to come session with me.
But what about asking those guys? Like in Texas?
So one of them doesn't do sessions anymore. And I don't know. I think they just kind of think of it as something taboo too. So they're like, well, I don't want to be in videos, because like, what if someone finds that? There's a couple. But like one of them, he really only does lift and carry vids. And I'm like, I can only post so many of those, because it's like the same carries over and over and over again.
Like, yeah.
There's just not a lot of variation. And he's not very good at acting. So, Anything that requires any kind of role play is out.
Gotcha.
So you know, well, I have more luck finding people when I'm traveling, actually. But maybe someone will pop up and they'll be perfect.
Who knows? Yeah, I think it's interesting. Because what I see is it could be that guy. But then if you know, work out the whatever arrangement, you do a bunch of different videos, like you shoot it all in one day,
yeah.
But you have a bunch of content from it.
Yeah, that would be ideal. And that's what I've tried to set up. And people are like, oh, can we do next week? And then next week comes and they're like, oh, I'm busy.
Even with the mask.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. That's my life. Find someone perfect and they flake.
So this is interesting. What do you look for in a guy? Because you said someone who's perfect for being in the video. So what do you look for and you're like, ah, he's good? Or like the other guy, he's not a good actor. So you're like, no. It's like, what are you looking for?
So I think the ones that are perfect for being in most videos are like kind of like a smaller frame. Definitely smaller than me, but like a smaller dude. Cause then I can do lift and carry. Like I can do anything with them and it's not going to matter. And some sort of acting skills. They don't have to be great, but some sort of acting skills. And just kind of an openness to, like, do kind of whatever sort of custom videos I get requests for.
Well, that would be interesting, though. Because part of me is wondering when you create a store, you have like something in mind that you're going like, hey, I'm going to do this type of, like, you'll do others, but my bread and butter will be this. But then if you get customs, and obviously if they're within like your limits, like your store could go a different way, I guess, than what you plan.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of hesitate to like nail down what the store is going to be. Because I really just don't know that yet.
I guess it's part of the fun, right?
Yeah. Kind of figuring out what works and what doesn't, and what people ask for and what people buy.
So this question is just, I was going to say it's weird. But we've already established it's not like, as long as it's respectful, anything is cool on this show. But I'm always curious when people, especially like the ladies, when they're filming and what they're wearing in like a video, like is there a strategy to it? Is it just what's requested? Is it just whatever's there? Like, how do you pick?
It depends. Like, the videos that I did for All-Star, we tried not to do fabrics that were too scratchy, since I was going to be, like, sitting on its face for, you know, 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So they had to be somewhat comfortable for him, but also they had to look good on camera, like the colors of the outfits that I wore. And some things look fine in person, but then you get it behind the camera lens and it doesn't, like, it washes me out, or it's too bright, so it's too distracting, stuff like that. And then sometimes in the customs with other girls, like, we just try to coordinate or wear stuff that complements each other. I think that's pretty much it.
Well, I asked because I'm glad you said it, because seeing like some of your other videos, the colors are pretty much like just like, okay, there's a red or a burgundy or black, but in those All-Star, it's very bright.
Yeah. I think he likes shooting the brighter colors. And then also there was a lot of natural sunlight in that room too. So they needed to be bright, because otherwise it would just look kind of blah.
See, that's fascinating. At least for me. Like, because on the outside, you just think, like you said, coordinate, depending on the type. But like, if it's an oil wrestling video, like it's a swimsuit that like you could go mind getting oil on it. So there's things I'll think about, but like the colors and the brightness, I would never think about.
So one thing I had not thought about, since you mentioned oil wrestling, is Feisty Feminista and I did an oil wrestling custom, and all I had in mind was wear a bikini that I don't mind basically throwing away, because like, you can try and wash it, but after that it's not gonna work. So I had one of those, but I had never worn it, and I didn't think about the color bleeding, and that's exactly what happened. So my swimsuit bottoms, like, they were black, but the ink looks purple. So by the end of the match, like, we both had, it was more visible on me because I'm so pale, but I had like purple oil all over me.
Wow.
It was so bad. It was so messy trying to clean that up. She cleaned up the actual, like, the tarp and the mat, but cleaning up myself, trying to get into the hotel shower without touching anything so that all the white stuff everywhere was not turned oily purple. It was interesting.
That's okay. So there's always these different things that, for me, are fascinating. But it's also, for those who are listening and our fans, it's like there's more into this than just we think.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And I didn't realize that until, like, the deeper I got into it either. I was like, oh, 10-minute video, it'll take 10 minutes. No, there's so much, like, pre-planning and then setting up and figuring out where the cameras need to be and getting everything, you know, just perfect. And then you look at the shot and it's like, oh, there's a bag and some shoes over here in the corner, so we got to go move that. And then getting dressed and makeup done. And yeah, it's a lot.
So now I get it. Why no one wants a time waster, but in a way, that maybe could be even more frustrating. I mean, a session you're traveling, but like for this, like that would frustrate me even more. In a way. I don't know why, but.
Doing all that and then someone not paying for the custom or what?
Well, if the male talent or whoever. For me, I guess the female talent, but they agree to come, and then you gotta get the lighting, you gotta figure out, all right, let's do this here, get the camera right here, all that. And then it's like they bail. Kind of what you're saying happens to you.
Yeah, that's really frustrating. But at the same time, like, sometimes it just doesn't work out for the girls. Like, I've had to cancel a couple session trips kind of last minute because, like, I was trying to give all the, you know, the last minute people that want to book the day you get into town or whatever, give them time to book. But at the same time, if it wasn't going to be worth it for me, and if my travel expenses weren't going to be covered, like, I needed to just cancel the trip. But so I have had to cancel shoots, and I had to cancel one because of my shoulder in Atlanta. It happens. It sucks when it happens, but I get it.
Because obviously, if someone's coming into, you know, Philly, and you know, I don't know what else is going on, and they've already advertised it, but then if no one else, it's not personal, but it's like, hey, D-Rock, you're the only one. You know, signed up. Like, you're not going to travel across the country just to see me.
Right.
like, it makes sense.
As much as we wish we could, it doesn't make financial sense for us.
Right. No, I was meaning more when you're in Texas and the stories of like, hey, come over and film, and they keep just like, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe like that.
That's frustrating. Luckily, I have kind of learned not to put out like feelers for customs and say that I have a male that'll be filming with me, because who knows if I actually will or not. So yeah, it's tough to balance that. Like, you want someone reliable, but you don't want everyone to know what you do. So finding someone is infinitely harder.
Yeah. That's, you know, you think about if FetLife is a cool way, or...
I have a FetLife account, but I don't use it. I feel like, honestly, Tinder would be a better place for it.
It might be. I feel like, because you're in Austin, which I visited once, and I think it's amazing. And it's an open city, and it's also like there's people, so it's not like it's like no one lives here. so I feel like when you have cities like that, there's people who are down and are good too, but it's just like you gotta find those right avenues to tap into.
Yeah. And honestly, I would totally advertise looking for a male talent on Tinder, except I wouldn't want everybody that sees that Tinder profile to know that it's me asking for that, because I have So on my OnlyFans, I've blocked the whole state of Texas. And I only did that because I had an issue with someone blackmailing me on Instagram. And it turned out that they were in Austin. But on OnlyFans, you can't block a certain city or a certain zip code or anything like that. You can only block it by state.
Right.
So I have people reach out on Instagram and they're like, hey, there's something wrong with your OnlyFans. Like, I can't go subscribe. And I'm like, what state are you in? They're like, I'm in Texas. And I'm like, that's why. Sorry.
No, that makes sense.
But it was just easier. I didn't want to have to deal with that again. So, and of course, they could just get a VPN and still find it. But anyone who goes through that much trouble is, you know, trouble.
Yeah. So, I guess for me, the final question I have, and it's kind of broad, but that's my specialty, is a year and a half into this, and you, in my opinion, I don't know how you feel, but it's like really successful, like very popular, whether it's in any capacity, what are those things you haven't tried, and not just like a type of session, it can be that, but like, what do you want to do more in this industry? Like, ooh, you know what I'm saying?
That is a tough question. I definitely want to work with more. So I'll tell you kind of like my biggest goals for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have thought about that. So next year I plan on working with more producers, kind of focusing more on video work and not quite as much on sessions themselves.
Okay.
I also plan on traveling less, but making my trips count more.
I gotcha.
Because this year and last year having basically session weekends like 2 to 3 times a month is really stressful, trying to work my regular job. So next year I plan on just taking like a week or week and a half and doing a driving tour, road trip tour of like the East Coast, and then, you know, waiting several months and then doing a week and a half tour of the West Coast, and then, you know, waiting again, and then a week and a half tour of kind of, you know, the whole middle section. And that'll probably pretty much be it unless I find some killer flight deals. But yeah, so just going to condense my session tours. And also I really want to do international. It's something that I've been thinking about basically since I started, cause I love to travel and I haven't been, well, I went to Colombia, but I haven't been out of the country as much as I would like. So, maybe a European tour somewhere in there.
Okay. That'd be awesome.
So yeah, there's a lot. I feel like that's more than I can fit into 1 year, but
I think that's what's interesting about this industry in particular. I know it's like a sub form of BDSM. But I feel like you're seeing people do things, whether it's with like their clip store, they're trying different things, or like a website, or just going on different podcasts. It's just like, it's so broad,
yeah.
And there's so much like where this can go, but it's kind of hard because it's like there's so many options.
Yes, there's so many directions, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface so far. Like there's so many more avenues that I want to explore and that I can explore. And it's kind of overwhelming when you sit down and think about it, because you're like, what do I want my kind of session specialty to be? Exactly like asking what I would want my clip store specialty to be. Like, I have no idea because there's so much that I'm interested in. So I kind of have to let the audience determine determine that.
And I feel like that's always like the tricky balance of, I guess, creating content, creating art is something that it's a passion project or passion for you, but then you still got to give the audience like what they're requesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the perfect world is like what you want it to do. The audience like loves, but doesn't always work that way. So it's tough.
It's definitely tough. And then I also, one of the other things I plan on doing more of next year is Shibari. So I took a class recently and really enjoyed it. And I kind of want to, there's a couple workshops here in the area that do like 2-day kind of intense, I'm going to say training. It's basically training on Shibari practices and all that kind of stuff. And I probably will end up taking one of those next year.
So for the audience and myself, can you explain Shibari?
So Shibari is a Japanese art form, basically, of rope. It's rope play.
Oh.
So it's connecting with people through rope and tying and being tied and, the healing process that you go through with that, kind of getting more in tune with yourself and your environment.
And it's, I guess it's similar, but it's different than bondage.
It's a technique of rope play, and it's definitely used in bondage.
Okay.
Or it should be.
See, I think that's really cool. And I think from talking to people and seeing that, I think people would love to see that.
I think they would too. Yeah, it's an interesting art form. Like I had no idea that there was so much that went into it, but yeah. So that class was really fascinating, and I would love to explore that more.
So I lied. So two questions. And then, so for the oil wrestling,
yes.
Was that something that you liked? I could incorporate that more.
Oh, God.
Or you're like, nah.
It was a lot of fun. And I'm glad that Feisty offered to clean everything up. And she brought the tarp. She brought the oil because she's done it quite a few times. It was my first time doing oil wrestling at all.
And I've done it with her.
Have you really? It would have been a lot easier if we had been able to do it like outside in one of those little like inflatable swimming pools or something to contain the oil. But yeah, so I was thankful that she cleaned it up because I was dreading that part. And it's so messy. And I don't know. Like I said, it was fun, but it's just messy. And I was worried about it all getting in my hair, and it's really hard to get off of you. So, yeah, I don't know that that's something I would like to do more of. It'd have to be like right before I was about to take a shower anyway, and. I mean, I'm sure since you're a guy, you may not understand, but I don't wash my hair every day. So, like, showering and trying to oil wrestle and not get it in my hair so that I didn't have to wash my hair was very difficult. And I don't want to do that again. So I don't know that I'll really open oil wrestling up to offering to the public.
I got you.
Maybe if I don't have to clean it up again.
Okay.
If someone requests it in a session and they're like, I'll handle all the cleanup, I'll bring the tarp, I'll do everything, then I might be like, okay.
Well, that's what it is for me.
So when I oil wrestle with someone, I bring the oil and the tarp. I even give an example. So is this a good one? I ask them if there's... Some people will say there's a type of oil, which I didn't know, that is better for that. Like there's the oil, like the regular baby oil, if you just want to get messy. But there's an oil that's not as messy.
What kind is it? Because I think baby oil.
Yeah. Let me... I can kind of tell you off the air, because I got to ask, because Hans has told me, a few people have told it to me. When I do the sessions,
oil, is it?
Say that again?
It's not grapeseed oil, is it?
No.
It's an oil that, I'll be honest, I get the baby oil, you can call me cheap, I'll go like the dollar store and just, but I do ask, I go, is there a type? So they go, because it's just a session, and we do it where I bring everything. And it's also like, I bring it, and then it's also the last session of the night, so they're just fine with it. They're down.